missionary to Old Mexico on deputation. I feel like a first grader with all these veteran missionaries here. And this is my wife, Lietta, and that's Brother Andrew there. He's 6 years old, and we was married about 10 years before he come along, but he made a good dent in our life. Well, amen. In fact, he sort of likes to sing a little bit. We need to learn some more music with him, but I think he and his mother's going to sing you a song first before we get started, okay?
Amen.
You're glad, man.
Jesus bless me this time out, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes,
amen.
Jesus bless me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Please don't may I'm a bin lost say. Super love road may I see there. Kalos me your son dear quell. Can I swear strong me go fear.
Amen.
Please don't may I'm a. Please don't may I'm a.
Amen. Well, amen. This brother Kincaid sent me some tapes, and I've been enjoying the good preaching. In fact, I enjoyed the message down at the service Wednesday night before I ever told you not, but I did. In fact, folks down there just not like I am, I guess. They just don't know how to say amen, you know. When some preaching, good preaching like that, I like to say amen.
Amen.
I might not should have said that. If y'all don't say amen, I may.
Amen. You're in trouble now, brother. We know how to embarrass you now.
Well, amen. Well, you know. Well, one thing for sure I know, I don't believe it's going to be too much longer until Jesus is going to come back.
That's right.
And I'm looking forward to putting my feet under Jesus' table and enjoying all the good things that he's preparing for those that love him and are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
But, you know, even though I'm looking forward for the coming of the Lord Jesus, and I don't believe it'll be too long, the way things are shaping up, but it makes me realize what we do for the Lord we must do now or forever forget about doing anything for the Lord. But I am looking forward for that next step.
Why worry?
I'll tell you what, I think I don't do this too often, and I have had occasion or two the last week or two, but Jack Wood down in Houston asked my wife to give her testimony, and And I believe I'll just have her to sort of give a word about maybe how she got saved or something, and then we'll sing that.
Amen.
Well, I was thinking about Sister West there. You didn't have much boldness. I don't either. But the Lord blesses and gives grace. But I was raised in a very good moral home, but I didn't have the Lord Jesus in my heart. I had no peace in my heart, no assurance of my salvation, even though I was taken to church every morning, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But I'm so thankful that God gave me a Christian husband that Amen. Witnessed to me. And as we read the Bible and studied and prayed together, I realized that he had a relationship with the Lord that I didn't have. And after we were married 3 months, well, I told him that I'd like to have that assurance in
Amen.
My heart.
Amen.
And he showed me, as he had showed me before, that I could ask the Lord to save me and believe in my heart that he would, and
Amen.
He did. And I asked him, and he did.
Amen.
And I've had that assurance.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, her mother and dad and my mother and dad don't understand why I believe like I believe. I mean, they just don't understand why we want to do the things that we feel like is necessary to do. They just don't understand, you know. And, man, when I got saved, I become the black sheep in my family. And when she got saved, I become the black sheep in her family. And, boy, I get it both directions. Amen.
I imagine.
But anyway, they just don't understand. And, my, we've talked to them and sat down and witnessed to them and read the Bible and studied with them many, many times. And they just don't understand. But and unless the Spirit of God opens their understanding, they'll never
right,
understand.
That's right.
But I am glad that no matter where we travel on deputation, there are some folks who understand
Amen.
What the rallies are all about and understand why we want to go to Mexico and win souls. Amen.
Amen.
And build churches. But anyway, I am glad that I am a part of the family of God because
Amen.
It's folks like you that keep us encouraged and keep us going. Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined as with Jesus as we travel this odd, for I'm a part of the family of God. You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined as with Jesus as we travel this odd, for I'm a part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, for I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen.
Well, as you can tell, my wife probably did a lot better job without me, but I'm not going to give her the chance. She might decide she can do too well. Amen. I tell you what, you know, when we first started our deputation, the very first place we went was the Servicemen's Center in Killeen. And Sister Solberg gave us this accordion.
Is that right?
And my, it's been a blessing on deputation, and I'm sure it'll be a blessing in old Mexico, too. Pretty hard to find a piano out.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can't go around.
Amen. Last May, it was our privilege to spend about 2 weeks down in Leon, and we stayed about 4 days in St. Louis Potosí. And now, next time I go back, I don't know who we're going to be.
That's right. Amen.
Well, this song, I guess, sort of is the way I was maybe before Jesus saved me. But, you know, if you have Jesus, you have everything. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have a thing. I mean, you may own the whole world, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have a thing. On the other hand, you may not have anything in this world, but if you have Jesus, you got everything you need.
Amen.
To make you happy and give you that peace and joy and contentment that one needs to be happy in the Lord. Amen. Okay, we'll sing one more.
I had nothing but heartaches and trouble.
Certainly appreciate the opportunity and the privilege to be here in your beginning of your mission conference. I don't know when. No, I'll have to take that back. There's been times that we feel at home at a place, but I feel home here tonight. I really do. It's easy when folks smile and seem like you're receptive, and it makes a difference. Amen. It really does. And I appreciate that very much. Amen. I was thinking about the message tonight, and this morning it was our privilege to preach just a salvation, simple salvation message. And we've seen some folks saved, seen a man saved, and the Lord has been very good. In fact, we've been on deputation a year now, and the last 3 or 4 months we have begun to see more fruit from our ministry, our witnessing, and our preaching and whatnot than all the other time before, and it has really, really encouraged my heart, because I realize where my priorities are, and I understand what they are, and it worried me for a few months there. I guess I was getting my feet on the ground, but it worried me that we didn't have as much fruit as I felt like we ought to have had. But the last 3 or 4 months has been real good, and I appreciate very much the souls that have been saved and the folks that have been called to preach, and it just encourages me to no end. And we do preach missions. In fact, the Lord yesterday gave me a new mission message. But tonight, I don't know, there seems like a lot of good home folks here, and I'd like to just try to encourage you from the Word of God. If you have your Bible tonight, turn with me to over in the Old Testament to the book of Joshua. Joshua, in fact, Joshua chapter 24, the last chapter in the book of Joshua. And let's read verse 14 through down about verse 24. Joshua chapter 24, 14 through 24. Joshua's fixing to finish his ministry here on the earth. He's fixing to die.
And one more time before he dies, he tries to encourage the children of Israel to serve God. He tries to get a commitment from them that they would serve God, and I believe he got the commitment that he's looking for. Anyway, verse 14 it says, Joshua says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is who brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your trespasses nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, no, but we will serve the Lord." Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him." They said, "We are witnesses." "Now therefore, put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, his voice we obey." If you would go with me to the Lord in prayer. These, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Dear Father, Lord, we want you to know tonight that we love you, and we appreciate, dear Father, all your many marvelous, wonderful blessings and gifts. Dear Father, we want you to know tonight that we want to do the best job that we know how to do to try to encourage these folks tonight out of the Word of God. And I realize that only the Holy Spirit of God can take these words and use them in a way that would please him. And Lord, we just praise you now and thank you and ask that you meet with us and fellowship with us. We invite you into the service. And we already feel that, my, that you have, your Spirit's already spoken to me and many here tonight. And we just praise you now. Thank you, Jesus, and amen. So I said, Joshua is trying his very best one more time, try to encourage the children of Israel to serve God and do the very best job they know how to serve him. And he was trying to get a commitment from them that they would serve God. And I believe he got the commitment that he was looking for, because in verse 24, it says, "And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." We not only need to serve God tonight, but we also need to obey the voice of the Lord. Amen. You know, I believe also the New Testament tries to encourage New Testament Christians to be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. Why? Because it's profitable. Amen. Not always profitable financially. Not always, but it's profitable. That is, as far as spiritual things are concerned, because those things that we do in the Spirit of God, those things will last for an eternity. Those souls that are saved because of the ministry that that you minister to them, those souls will enjoy heaven and all the things hereafter. Those things will last for an eternity. All the other things that we do in the flesh are good, but not necessarily would last for any length of time. Amen. Now, I am the way I am, and I preach the way I do, so you just have to, you know, you just have to excuse me if I don't preach the way you may all preach. I mean, I'll just have to. But anyway, what I'm trying to say tonight is that I'd like to do my very best to try to encourage you as children of God to do your very best to serve him and not give up, not quit, but just keep on serving him regardless of the trials and the troubles and the tribulations that come your way. Just keep on keeping on and doing a good job for him. You know, this thing of serving the Lord, and maybe this will give you a little bit more about me. In fact, this is my testimony. This is how God dealt with me. And so you'll just have to understand what I'm trying to say tonight. But, you know, there's one thing I've never been sorry for since I've been saved, and that is the fact that I got saved. Amen? Yeah. I've never been sorry that I gave my heart and soul to the safekeeping of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never been sorry that I got saved. Now, I've never met anybody that said, I'm sorry I got saved. I've had folks who you glad you got saved? I sure am. And I've never met anybody that said, well, I just wish I hadn't got saved. Amen? I just never met anybody like that. But I've never been sorry that I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got saved in 1960, 20 years ago. I spent a night in Wichita Falls County Jail in Wichita Falls, Texas. And that night I came to know Lord Jesus. But you know, folks, there were some folks who witnessed to me and loved me. And I had a cousin, his pastor, about five families in the church in Wichita Falls. And they took God's word and they sat down and tried to explain it to them, you know. They said, Roy, we love you. We just don't love your sin. You know, over the first 18 years of my life, I tried religion, and it didn't satisfy. I mean, it just didn't make a new man out of me. It didn't make a new creature out of me. And I tried it, and nothing happened. But when I went to service when I was 18, and between 18 and 21, I tried the filth of this world, and that don't satisfy you. Amen? After I got saved, well, before I grew much in the Lord, I thought, well, the things of this world, that's what's satisfying. I tried getting more things, but I found out the Bible says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world, amen? Right. And so I had to realize that those things didn't satisfy, and the only thing that can satisfy you and your soul, if you've been saved and you've been born again, is to be in the will of God. Amen. But anyway, these folks, they witnessed to me, they sat down and cried with me and prayed for me and tried to explain God's word to me, and I'll be honest with you, their lives convicted me of my life. I realized that I was unhappy. I realized that I was miserable. I realized I had no peace and no joy in my soul. And I could look at them and I see they had nice homes and they had nice families. And they sat down and they prayed at the table and they'd go to church. And they were faithful to witness to me. And in fact, I didn't know this till after I was saved. But those folks said, we're going to fast for Roy Riley until he gets saved. And they fasted 2 weeks till I was saved. And I wound up in jail one night. And God knew what it would take for Roy Riley to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I mean, I wound up there with nothing, and I had nowhere to go but I'll be honest with you, they tried to witness to me, and I couldn't understand what they were trying to tell me. I mean, they tried to explain God's word to me, and I just couldn't understand what they were trying to tell me. But when I wound up in jail that night, I was amazed at how much of the scripture that they had quoted to me that I remembered. Amen? You know, even though men took pen in hand and wrote these words down, there's only one author to the Word of God, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. And there's only one interpreter to the Word of God, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. And we cannot understand, in fact, the Bible says the natural man, the old man, the man that's not been supernaturally born again, cannot understand or perceive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're only spiritually discerned, and unless the Spirit of God interprets them to our heart, we'll not understand those things. And I couldn't understand when they were witnessing to me about the Word of God. But when I went up in jail that night, it seems that the Spirit of God began to convict me. I mean, man, he got me down to, I was down there and I just didn't realize where I was at until he showed me that night. And I began to understand the Scriptures. And some folks come by, I don't even know what who they were or anything like that. They come by and sang and gave testimonies. And somebody preached and they gave an invitation, but I didn't respond. But about midnight, as I was laying there, I got thinking about these things, and so I asked the Lord and realized for the first time that I was lost. I was without Christ, without God, hope in this world, and so I asked Him to save my wicked soul, and He did. And the next day I got out, and I went to the folks, and I said, look, I asked the Lord to save me last night, and they wanted to be happy. They wanted to believe me, but they went around for a week about like this. I had told them a few, and they didn't know where to trust me or believe me or not, you know. And so they started putting me on probation, I guess it was, to make sure that I got what I needed, amen? And so finally, after a while, they realized that I had gotten what I needed. But like I say, the Lord knew what it would take for me to be saved, and He turned me from going in one direction and turned me around and headed me in a new direction. Amen? And I've never been sorry that I gave my heart and my soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been good. It's been good. You know, the Lord has been good to my family and I. Brother mentioned about the the optical practice. Really, we had three optical contracts, three optical practices, and they were grossing anywhere from $350,000 to $400,000 a year. And the Lord been good to us. We had a home in town in Temple, from Northside Temple. It had 10 rooms, full baths. We had a little farm out in the country that we had just redone. 7 rooms and 2 baths. Now, you understand what I'm trying to say now. This is how God dealt with me. This is my testimony. I'm trying to encourage you and trying to show you what's the best thing. So what I'm saying is, you know, I mean, the Lord had been good to us. And he allowed us to have these things. And the Lord, about 7 years ago, called me into the ministry. And when he first spoke to me about it, I said, Lord, I certainly want to be obedient to you. If you want me to preach, if you want me to minister the word of God, that's what I want to do. I want to be in your will. But I said, I want you to make it real to me. I want you to break my heart about it. I want you to give me assurance that this is what you want for my life. This is the will for you in my life, because I've seen so many folks surrender to preaching, nothing happened. And I said, I don't want it to be that way with me. If we're going to do it, we're going to go all the way. And God gave me the assurance, and he worked on my heart, and I have no doubt that God called me to preach 7 years ago. And, of course, it was our privilege to be Brother Lawson's associate for my pastor, associate for about 2 years, Brother Noel Lawson. You know him? I thought maybe you did, Brother Wes, since he and Brother Joe are good friends. But anyway, I was his associate for a couple of years, and he might not admit it, but I didn't do a very good job. I don't know whether he admitted it or not, and it was our privilege to start, and for almost 3 years, Pastoral Mission Church over in Harper Heights near Fort Hood, and Brother Stoneberg came to help us. And again, I'd say that we've seen some folks saved, we've seen some GIs come and grow and go to different parts of the country and whatnot, and I mean, we did some good, but again, I don't feel like I did as much as I felt like we should have. But when God spoke to my heart about going to Mexico, I knew that where the Lord wanted me all the time. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? And there come a time that we went to old Mexico to visit a missionary friend of ours, Brother Brian Williams, down in Monterey. And we went down there to visit him. He took us out to a ranch about 150 miles back out in the desert out there. And he said, we've been to this ranch once before, but said the folks didn't know us. They were a little bit reserved. And said, I'll come out there again and give you an opportunity to preach. And I said, might enjoy that. And while we're out there, we went around to the people's houses. And we invited 125 people to come out to the service that night down in front of these folks' house. And when we got ready for it, I got to counting out there. And there's about 75 people sitting on logs, standing around and whatnot. And we preached. Brother Williams gave the invitation. We had 27 adults saved. And my did something to my heart. I said, you know, there are some folks in this world who are hungry for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's not many places in the United States you can, on the spur of the moment, ask 125 people to come hear you preach, 75 of them come and 27 of them get saved. Amen. There's just not many places like that. And it did something to my heart. It really did. God began to speak to me then. And then come July of, let's see, I lose track of time since I've been on that station, but anyway, about July, Brother, Brother Olaf. My, great. Boy, must be something bad wrong with me if I can't think Brother Olaf's name. But Brother Olaf came to our church, and he didn't have a thing to say about missions. He wasn't preaching on missions. He didn't say anything that concerned me at all. But I tell you what, his line, his mannerism, and his preaching did something to me and caused me to realize that I must do everything within my power to submit myself to God's will. And so I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever it costs me, I'm willing to do that which you want me to do to serve you. And I made that commitment that night. And so we went out and resigned the church. In fact, they gave me a watch. And I did get something out. You know, anyway. But I always like to go out in the pasture and pray. Me and the cats and dogs always go out in the pasture and pray. And while I was out there, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go to Mexico as a missionary. And I came back to the house and I told my wife, and I thank God for a wife who's willing to do whatever she feels like her husband has been called of God to do. I mean, miserable as the pastor, the evangelist, the missionary, anybody else whose wife doesn't go along with what he's doing. Amen. But anyway, I would just fixed up the place, and I let her go over to Moody, Texas over there, and she bought $5,000 worth of new furniture. And I know ladies like nice things. You know, they like things, and so on and so forth. And And when I was got the place picked up, we'd enjoyed about 11 months. And I said, well, I believe God wants us to go to Mexico as a missionary. And she said, well, whatever you feel like God wants you to do. And I thought, well, that's pretty easy. I got about that all right. I really thank God worked on her, like, you know, as well as he's working on me. But anyway, she was willing to go along with that. And I said, well, why don't, she was a chemist. And up there at the little place up there where she had been. And I said, well, why don't you go up there where the folks are, that you know, and put a deal on book board up there to sell the furniture. She went up there and it's frozen 2 hours. And I said, boy, it's really going fast now. But what I'm trying to say is, I don't have my net worth in this world tonight. I can honestly say is zero. I don't own anything except that little 20-foot travel trailer out there and what's in it, and the missionary gave me that. And that pickup, that's all I've got. But I'm just as happy as if I had good sense, because I know I'm in God's will. I know God wants me in Mexico, and we're heading in that direction. Amen. And it's been exciting. But again, you know, the Lord dealt with me again. We went down in the pasture and prayed, and I'd gotten rid of the place in town. We got rid of the furniture and moved in a little three-room house over our next church. The church had a little three-room house over there. Moved over there. And hadn't quite gotten everything wound up as far as the optical field was concerned. But, again, I couldn't sell the place out in the country. And I was out praying, and the Lord spoke to me about giving the place to my pastor, the law. And so I called him and told him what I had decided and told my wife. I said, the Lord wants to give this place to the law. He said, well, whatever you think best. But what I'm saying is, I'm not saying, look at what Brother Riley has given up to go to Mexico. That's not what I'm saying. Those things are just temporal. Those things are ashes. Those things will be dissolved one day. They're not worth a thing as far as this world, as far as God is concerned. But being in the will of God and having peace in one's heart and contentment to know that that wherever God calls you to be, whether it's in Mexico or Japan or Brazil or around the world, we ought to be there. Amen.
Amen.
So it's been good to serve the Lord. And I know Brother Kincaid was a missionary, probably still. Evidently, what I can tell, live by faith. These missionaries can tell you different stories, but I want to share with you a couple of things before I quit tonight. I mean, this thing, you know, the Lord has been good to us. Like I say, I got my priorities right. I know what's important to do first of all, and then second of all, but financially, the Lord has, this is what makes it exciting for me, you know. I mean, it's been exciting. I just can't hardly wait to see what the Lord's going to do next and how he's going to take care of stuff next. I mean, I just, you know, this first time I've not been used to, making a trip without some money in my pocket, you know. And already, I went to Louisiana the other day, Brother Mac Ford, New Bethany. They was having a little conference up there. And I thought, well, it'd be a good chance to go meet some preachers and whatnot. We filled up both tanks on the pickup. And I had $6 in my pocket. And, didn't have a way to get back. But I tell you what, we went down there and we prayed about it, of course. Wasn't too concerned about it. Didn't say anything to anybody. Met some preachers. And I got about five or six places in Mississippi. In March, because of going down there. But just before that, Brother Bubba came up to me. He said, "How come the watch is back? He said, $100 here in my pocket." Now, you didn't hear me? I mean, boy, I tell you, it's been one thing like that after another. Last month in December, we got up till December 31st, last day. And I had two things that I didn't have money to pay. So I went and wrote checks, one for $125, one for about $93, I think, and laid them aside. And I said, let's have to make them up next month. And forgot about it. We went to watch night service where there's about four churches together. And we just went to enjoy it. You know, Lord, let's preach, we'll preach, whatever. And anyway, one pastor got up and said, I'll be able to take an offering, just the violence, missionary. They took up an offering, it was $218. I went back out to the trailer, added those two checks up, and those two checks added up to $218. I mean,
amen.
Exactly, amount, right on time. I mean, it's been one thing like that after another. What I'm trying to say tonight is, it's exciting to serve God. It's more exciting, more peaceful to know that it's God's will. And I don't believe a Christian ever has an excuse to quit serving God. No matter what happens, I don't think we have an excuse to quit serving God. If any man had an excuse to quit serving God, I believe it'd been old Job. He had a good excuse. Amen? I mean, took away his family, took away his farm, took away his flesh, took away his friends. I mean, that's another message, but I tell you what, he had a good excuse to quit serving God, but he said, the Lord give, the Lord take away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And all his trials and troubles and tribulations, he sinned not with his lips nor charged God foolishly. Amen?
Amen.
But I'd like to finish with this. You know, talking about missions, but really I just want to try to encourage you to keep on serving God, not give up, but just keep on keeping on. for the Lord and do the very best job you know how. But you know, I've reading, or not reading, but I listened to a tape not long ago, and it's talking about two young men. The Malaysian missions were started by these two young men. And you know, after they went to the mission field, they were never heard of again. They never wrote a book. They were never heard of again. In fact, these two young men heard of an island that this Englishman had. On this island, he had about 2,000 slaves working his plantation. This man was an atheist, and he says there'll be no missionary set foot on this island. They'll not teach me, they'll not teach these slaves. If they're shipwrecked here, we'll just keep them aside until someone can come and pick them up. And these two young men heard about this, and they wrote the man and said, we'll sell ourselves to you as slaves for life. And so, well, they didn't tell them they were going to preach the gospel, you know, to the slaves. But these two young men sold themselves to this man as his slaves for life, simply that they could preach the gospel to some slaves on island. And it says this, the ship slipped out of the harbor, and they seen their family there on the dock. Their family looked at them and realized they'd never see these young men ever again in this life. And the young men looked at them and realized they'd never see their family again. The last words that were ever heard from these two young men was, doesn't the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world deserve a reward for his suffering? What was he saying? We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not our own. We've been bought. He paid for us. We're his to do with whatever he wants to do with us. And doesn't he deserve a reward for the suffering that he did for my sin and for your sin? You know what that reward was? Their lives. They were willing to give their lives. And that's what each one of us ought to be willing to do tonight, is to give our lives for the glory of the Lord Jesus. In fact, if you'll do that, I don't think it'll be, you won't have to live by faith too much longer, because I'll be able to do it before that.
Praise the Lord.